Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we get started with today's show, I would like to take a moment to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible, the folks over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, and their recruiters recognize the importance of working closely with the clients as well as the job seekers to make a lasting match that works for everybody. So thank you so much to our sponsors over at Markham Search. Today we have with us on the show Kim Forrester. Kim is a mother, a nature lover, global traveler, holistic well-being advocate, and kindness enthusiast. As an award-winning author, educator, and intuitive consultant, she combines cutting-edge science with spiritual philosophy to inspire holistic well-being and fullness of living. She has featured in media throughout Australia, New Zealand, Asia, and the United States, and has been a regular contributor for a wide range of publications. Originally from New Zealand, Kim resides in Singapore with her family and a menagerie of animals. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kim.
Jennifer, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you. Good afternoon.
Yes, good morning to you in Singapore.
Yes, the sun is rising and I'm ready for a wonderful day.
Yes, lovely. Well, so tell me a little bit about this. This is such an interesting career path to pursue being a kindness enthusiast and a holistic well-being advocate. How was this a career that you came upon?
I used to work in tourism and hotels, and then when I was 26, I went to my very first spiritual development circle in a little town called Rotorua, New Zealand, and I learnt the power of our own intuitive sense, our own sixth sense, and in becoming more attuned with my intuitive side, I realised that it was so much grander than just being psychic, if you will. When we learn to step beyond our logical mind and our mechanical point of view of the world and we step into a more natural, more authentic way of being, there is an absolute joy that resides in there. And there's an absolute joy that comes from being the whole of you, not just sort of this mechanical, superficial human being that we've been taught to be through society's expectations and the way that we're taught and the way that we're told to go about our career and whatnot. And so the kindness and the holistic well-being and the intuitive side for me are all rolled up into one. And so what I hope to do is inspire people just to crack beneath the surface of that logical, rational mind and become a little bit more intuitive, become a little bit more instinctive, if you will. Go back to our natural roots, and because they won't just find, like I say, intuitive insights in there, but they'll actually find meaning and purpose and a sense of authenticity.
Yeah, I think authenticity and intuition combined can be a very powerful force to be reckoned with in business or personally. And so tell me, from a business standpoint, how has connecting to your intuitive knowledge and knowing impacted your ability to be more effective in your line of work or in any line of work?
It's very challenging and very confronting at times, Jennifer, because we are programmed to believe, and it sounds very glib and very cliche, but we are literally programmed in our minds to believe in logic and in the patterns and the processes that we have been taught as we grow up. So when you become more intuitive and you sort of have a gut feeling or an instinct that maybe the time's not right yet, or maybe that person isn't quite going to work out to be as helpful as what, you know, I'd like to think, it actually is very confronting, and it takes a lot of practice and a lot of self-trust and self-nurturing to get to the point where you can actually override your own logical mechanisms and become truly instinctive. So I've been doing it now for 20 years, and I still wouldn't say that I'm perfect at it. But what I can say is that when you learn to trust the timing of your life, or when you learn to trust the instincts that are actually trying to truly guide you to your greatest version of yourself, then that's where you will often find the happiness that you think you're looking for.
And aren't we all looking for happiness? That is a very true statement. So I love this concept that you had told me about authentic goal setting. Can you tell me a little bit about what is an authentic goal?
Sure. Basically, as I was just sort of describing there, it's about logic and reason. So an authentic goal is one that extends beyond and below logic and reason. It has got nothing to do with those seven steps to success webinar that you subscribe to online, right? An authentic goal is one that acknowledges your natural instincts. It's one that's congruent with the actions and activities that you automatically find most motivating and inspiring. I'm reminded that in Southern California, there was a whole lot of chatter online around the monarch butterflies that are currently migrating.
Correct.
And for me, the monarch butterfly is one of the most beautiful and poignant examples of an authentic goal, because these delicate, tiny animals fly thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers every year. And they don't do so because their mum and dad thought that it would be a great thing for them to do. And they don't do so, and they don't do so because they don't want to feel like they're a failure with their peers. And they don't do so because, well, everyone else is doing it, or it's the way it's always been done. The monarch butterfly flies further, a longer journey than you and I would probably ever drive. And they do it because they have to, because they don't know life any other way. And what I remind your listeners is that we are actually natural beings as well. And so inside of us resides a natural instinct that is as powerful and as potent as the natural migratory instinct inside of those butterflies. Oh, of course, ours might not be to fly thousands of kilometers, but there is an instinct and a yearning and a desire that lies in each and every one of us. That is that instinctive and that powerful, that it will help us overcome anything, simply because we cannot imagine living life without having pursued that dream or achieved that goal.
And so how do we even tell? How do you know if a goal is authentic? How do you know if it's your due course to fly thousands of kilometers like the butterfly, or to do something completely different? I feel like in today's, where was I? I was somewhere this past weekend, and you just feel overwhelmed by choices, whether you go to Starbucks or whether it's job choices or career choices. You have this plethora of choices. It's not as easy as fly 1,000 kilometers in one direction and just know without a shadow of a doubt. Perhaps the butterfly knows that instinctively, but how do we as individuals with the thousands, if not millions of choices we're presented with every day, connect to knowing the right choice or if a goal is authentic or not?
Well, for me, it's about the feels. For me, it's about, you're absolutely correct, Jennifer. We step out into the world and we are bombarded with ideas and options and opinions and other people's stories. You know, their path to success was this way. And all of those things make us think that our instincts cannot be trusted. Because we've learned to trust, or have been told to trust, the way that we think our way through life above anything else. So I would say that an authentic goal is simply something that appeals beyond a logical level. So it's not something that looks like it's worthy, or it looks like something that will bring you fulfillment. It also resonates with who you are as an individual. And I think most poignantly, if you have chosen an authentic goal, you will be injected with an inherent sense of meaning and purpose. So you wake up inspired when you can't wait to start the next part of your journey or the next part of your project. You get knocked down by someone or by something or by a freak of timing, and you sit and you grieve and you get angry, and then you simply get up and you have to keep going again. Now, that's obviously not something that we can just find instantly in the moment, but later on, if you don't mind, I've got some tools that we can use in the moment to help sort of find a more authentic goal. But I would say, more than anything else, what we're searching for when we're looking for an authentic goal is something that inspires us from the inside. It feels amazing.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think that it's about trusting it. I think so often I hear it from job seekers who they say they got this gut feeling that something was a fit or it was not a fit. And when we don't listen to that gut intuition that so often we overlook and we don't develop, and we wind up making misstep after misstep, whether it's our career or personal relationships, and then we find ourselves in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and or at whatever age we might be in life, and asking ourselves, how did I wind up here? Why am I so unhappy? Mm. And I think it goes back to your earlier point of, what is real happiness? If you look at so many people out there who define happiness or they define success, which are two different things, you know, you look at material success and some people in certain parts of the world might think, oh gosh, you know, if one day I could make $100,000, that would make me happy or that would consider me a success. But is that really going to add to lasting happiness, or are you just going to look for the next carrot to achieve?
Well, I'm actually studying the science of happiness through the Greater Good Science Center at the moment. And what is really interesting is that happiness is not what people think it is. Or no, happiness does not come through the modes that people believe it does. So there are three things that bring us great happiness, scientifically proven. The first is giving to others, so being of service to others. The second is social connection, so having authentic connection with the people around you in your life. And the third is actually waking up each day with a sense of meaning and purpose. So an authentic goal is certainly going to imbue two of those three. If you are following an authentic goal, I truly believe that it obviously has a sense of meaning and purpose behind it. But also, inevitably, it will be something that is a contribution to the world in some big or small way.
I completely agree. I remember one of my mentors years ago, I had a family member who was struggling severely with depression. I struggled with it at one point or another in my life as well. And believe it or not, this mentor said that the quickest way to get yourself out of a situation where you're depressed is to do an act of kindness for another. Do something to get out of your own way. Because when you go through those states of depression, I'm actually seeing a friend of mine, Mark Golston, who we had on the show last year and has become one of my other mentors. And he helps treat people around the world with severe depression. But he'll tell you as well, it's all about, how do we get out of our own way? How do we actually reconnect to the other? Because when we get at the bowels of being at our lowest self, you know, we hate our job, we hate our significant other, we're miserable personally and professionally. The quickest way to get yourself out of that is to connect to a way that you can contribute or do anything, no matter how big or small, to help another. And then inch by inch, you work your way out of that sadness and the depths of depression.
What I'd like to remind us all that is literally how the human species came to flourish on this planet, was through cooperation. So before we had KPIs and grades at school and you know, our value and our sense of fulfillment came through the contribution that we made to our village or we made to our tribe. And that contribution would inevitably be something that was instinctive and something that we uniquely in that group had to offer to the community. So for instance, success and fulfillment for someone 20,000 years ago might have been a young man who was a particularly agile and adept hunter, or the old crone who was particularly good at healing the people of her tribe. So that's who we are biologically, it's who we are psychologically. And it's very, very easy for us to forget that. Like I say, we've sort of divorced ourselves from our natural being, from our natural instincts. However, the truth remains that that's what we're trying to fulfill. We're trying to fulfill a sense of using our unique skills and talents in a way that will actually allow the community to flourish, that lifts and contributes to those around us. That's where our purpose is.
I completely agree. And just recently, somebody had suggested that one trick you can do if you're trying to figure out, you're sitting here listening today and you're thinking to yourself, what is wrong? Why is it I go into work every day and I'm just not feeling fulfilled and something is missing? One of the techniques I've been using personally lately is to journal and to write down what is my assignment for the day, just to kind of reflectively sit down, kind of clear your mind and just ask, what is my assignment for the day? And then every day to just kind of check in and say, what is my life's purpose? What is my mission? And sometimes you might not like the answer. Sometimes you might not hear the answer at first, but as you kind of keen your sense of intuition, you start to hear or get ideas, these little moments of inspiration. Some of the greatest authors out there about success, self-development, having it all. Look at Napoleon Hill. He was applying these principles over 100 years ago, and they haven't changed. It's about listening to that intuition and connecting to your purpose. And then just like those butterflies, following it, no matter what the storm is, no matter what is ahead of you or what might be behind you, that you just keep flying due north or whatever the direction is that you're going with absolute perfect certainty.
Absolutely. And what I would also like to say straight up is that don't look for a purpose that is grand or that's going to get you 100,000 Twitter followers, because that's what we've been taught to believe is the only purpose of value, one that is big and grandiose and will garner a lot of attention. Purpose is often quiet and subtle and intimate. So if you're getting those whispers of what is truly purposeful and meaningful to you, but it doesn't look like something that is going to get you too many, you know, social media followers, that's okay. In fact, that's exactly what I'm encouraging people to listen to. Forget what society says it should look like and just get back to the exercise that you were just describing there. Come back to those whispers of insight and instinct.
Yeah, and I love in the press release you had sent me, because you and I have known one another throughout the years through some of the people that you've represented on the press side as well. And I loved in your press release where you had mentioned that according to the Boston University School of Management, individuals with a strong sense of purpose in their careers tend to benefit from enhanced metacompetencies such as heightened self-awareness and greater adaptability.
Absolutely. So a really interesting study, and this is the thing, a sense of purpose, and your sense of purpose might be small, insignificant in the grand scheme of things. However, it literally will help you in your career. So as you were saying, Douglas Hall and Dawn Chandler discovered that people who have a sense of meaning and purpose, they go to work and they are more self-aware and more adaptable. And what is interesting is that being more self-aware and more adaptable, they did call them metacompetencies. There's an early morning word for you.
Yeah, I know. Tongue twister.
Yeah. But having enhanced metacompetencies actually helps you with your day-to-day tasks. So you actually become better at your job, better at the tasks that are in front of you, if you go to work with a sense of meaning and purpose. In the same study, they talk about the difference between psychological success and objective success. So in our world, we have come to revere and celebrate objective success. So this is status and money and promotions and the Twitter followers that I was talking about. And the researchers were speaking about the importance of actually acknowledging and cultivating psychological success. So psychological success is that sense of feeling like you've accomplished something internally. It's the sense of feeling like you have contributed, like you have fulfilled something that was meaningful to you personally. And what they discovered in the same study was that psychological success actually increases your self-confidence and it leads to task success. So the more you allow yourself to follow and accomplish goals that are meaningful to you, no matter what they look on the outside, you will actually become better overall at your job. You will flourish more in your career. On the flip side of the coin, they did discover that there are people who gain objective success. And you alluded to this earlier, Jennifer, where you can have the greatest job on paper, or you can earn the reward or the award that you think is most esteemed, and you can actually still feel like a psychological failure. So finding purpose on a daily basis is certainly going to help you in your career.
So what are some of the steps to creating an authentic goal and to helping fine-tune that? I know you mentioned earlier that you might be able to offer some tools for our listeners on ways that you could create authentic goals or tools to connect to your purpose.
Sure. So my first piece of advice before I sort of go into the tools themselves is that an authentic goal is something that reflects a deeply personal, it's essentially unique understanding of who you are. So it's going to be about your vision and your values and your greatest desires. So the first thing I'm going to encourage your listeners to do is just get back to finding out who they are. And then here's a couple of things that you can do to find and acknowledge and recognize more authentic goals in your life. The first one I would say is switch off autopilot. So we do things like when somebody sneezes, certainly in New Zealand, and I'm not sure if you still do it in the USA, if someone sneezes, you say bless you?
Yes, correct.
Okay, right. Do any of us know why we say that word?
My guess would be that we say bless you because in the olden days when people were dying of the plague or, God forbid, some other disease, you would bless them for fear that if they weren't blessed that they would die. That would be my guess.
There's all sorts of stories about why some felt that a sneeze was actually the demon escaping from the body, and so you would bless them at the time. Do you know why we blow out candles on a birthday cake, Jennifer?
No, I do not.
No. Well, apparently it comes from ancient Greece, where the candles were symbols of Artemis, okay, closely associated with the moon. And you were sending your wish up to Artemis and the moon when you blew out the candles. So these are just a couple of examples of things that we do on autopilot in our life. And we're not actually even quite sure of what the meaning is at the time, or even if we can find the meaning through a Google search, it really has no relevance in our modern day in life. So the point I'm trying to make here is that every path to achievement that we've been told, right? So every plan or process or formula for success, it's just a reflection of someone else's story. Excuse me. Okay, so it's literally just a story that we've been told. It's just a tradition that we've been asked to follow. So, and if we were all living all identical, uniform lives, and if our lives were incredibly predictable, then any one of those stories would work for us. But that's not how life works, because life is messy and life is unique and life is complicated. And so is career. So the way forward for you as an individual, or for us as individuals, is most certainly not going to be the way that it's been done before. So the first step to finding an authentic goal is to recognize how often and how fully we actually hear other people's ideas and other people's stories, and we absorb them, and then switch that off. Switch off autopilot. Let go of any concept of how things are supposed to work, and be committed to carving your own path forward, however that looks. So that's step number one. Excuse me. Step number two, honor your intuition. Really, really important. Obviously, we've come to revere decision making on a logical level as the highest form of thought. But an antelope that is running across the plains away from, you know, a chasing lion is not logically deciding which is the best path into safety. They're acting on instinct. The butterflies we spoke about before are acting on instinct. And we actually have that same intuitive instinct inside of us. In fact, studies have shown that if we think our way through a problem or a decision, we're actually only engaging the same unconscious patterns that we've had since we were children. So our conscious mind, this fabulous logical mind that we've come to revere as the king of decision making, is actually only at the mercy of our unconscious mind, which is where all of our childhood thoughts and trauma, all of our self-sabotaging ideas and ideals, all of our beliefs about what is and is not possible in our own lives, they all reside in there. So when we think our way to a decision, we're actually just, excuse me, we're actually just taking an old vinyl record from our childhood and placing it on the turntable and putting the stylus down. That's what happens when we try to think our way to a decision. Studies have also shown, though, that our gut, literally our gut, seems to have a brain of its own and can lead us away from danger or away from a bad decision and towards a good decision. So I would ask people, in whatever way feels right for them, to start exploring their own intuitive side, their own sixth sense, because it is going to help guide them away from these other people's stories and these meaningless and purposeless ideas and ideals and goals, and towards something that's going to be more uniquely meaningful for them as an individual.
Yeah, and I love one of the other points I think you mentioned too is just listening to your own language and listening to the language of others and seeing how that aligns or doesn't align with what people are committed to, because what you speak is what you get.
Well, there's one specific thing that you can actually listen for in your language that will tell you if you are on the right path or not. And that is the word should.
Ah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Right. So if you are doing something because you should or you have to, if that's what you're saying in your mind or out loud to others, then you are quite literally inviting in a sense of resistance and struggle. You are saying, this is not meaningful to me. I have not chosen this on my own. I am doing it out of obligation to someone else or to society at large. And if you're doing something out of resistance and struggle, of obligation and disempowerment, then you can bet your bottom dollar that one day, or for many days, you're going to wake up feeling like you are being drained of energy and you're being drained of inspiration because you're not doing something that is for yourself. So when I say listen to your language, watch for the word should, and choose those goals that you know you are following because you want to. So if you want, go for it.
Well, I want to play devil's advocate with you for a moment, because I can hear the voices of many of our listeners and I can hear their internal heads going, what is she talking about? There's so many things that I should or I have to do at work. I come into work. If I don't do something, I'm going to be fired and then I'm going to be out the door with no paycheck. So how do you reconcile the things you should or have to do in order to receive your paycheck, as opposed to the things that inspire you and uplift you to achieve your highest and best good?
I think the interesting thing is to actually truly recognize when you want to do something, or when you, because you want to do something doesn't mean that you're always going to have the energy to do it. I'll speak from a mother's point of view. A busy mother comes home at the end of the day and goes, oh, I really should feed my children. Right? I really should get up and cook dinner. And in that word should, we tell ourselves that this is an obligation and it's something that is going to drain us of energy. But if you stop and think about it, as a mother, you actually want to feed your children, right? So sure. you turn up to work and there's a PowerPoint presentation that, you know, that is required by the end of the week, and you go, oh, I really should get onto that presentation. But ask yourself, is it something you actually want to do? Is it a part of your job? And do you want to excel at your job? And if you do want to excel at your job, then you actually want to do the PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think there was another distinction I remember learning years ago about choice, to choose something. Like, for example, if you choose traffic, like if you're stuck in traffic, and if you live in LA, New York, any of the big cities in the world, Mumbai, wherever you might be, and you find yourself sitting in back-to-back traffic, bumper-to-bumper traffic, you can either be at the effect of traffic and say, oh, this is so unfortunate, I'm stuck here, and I should be doing this, I should be doing that. Or you can choose, I choose traffic. I choose to be right where I am in traffic. I'm going to make the best of the situation rather than resisting it. And that could be true of your boss. It can be true of your parents or whatever you might come up against, is to choose that situation the way it is rather than wishing it were a different way.
Absolutely. And then on the larger scale of things, if you're choosing something consistently and you're finding that it doesn't feel good to choose that, right? Mm-hmm. That is the sign to you instinctively, intuitively, that it might be wise to start choosing something else. or choosing to be somewhere else. There's one really important thing, Jennifer, and this probably will ruffle a few feathers, but there's one really important step towards creating an authentic goal, and that is trusting your own timing. Now, it's very, very fashionable. It's probably even expected that your success is sort of built on a mid or long-term basis. So people who are savvy and wise are sort of expected to have 5 and 10 year plans. However, and I'm going to speak for those who are like me, there are some of us for whom 5 and 10 years is just simply too big a concept to deal with. There are those of us who prefer to have shorter term goals, because a 5 or 10 year goal, I'm going to lose interest and I'm going to lose energy and inspiration if I'm chasing something that is that far away. So if you are someone who can work steadfastly towards a 5 or a 10 year goal, then I applaud you, and that's wonderful. Work in that time frame. If you're someone who is more short term, if you're someone who likes to have quick projects done and a sense of achievement on a much a much smaller and yet more frequent scale, then trust that timing within yourself. Continue to set a goal, but make sure it's one that is aligned with the timing that works for you as an individual. So I never went to college. I never went to university. When I left high school, I went traveling instead. And then at the beginning of last year, my son went to university in New Zealand, and I decided that I was going to start university as well. But I know that I'm not a three-year full-time study was not going to work for me, and a 6-year part-time study, I knew at some point I would just go, this is so far away, what am I working for? So I chose differently, and I chose to do a diploma. I think you'd call it an associate degree.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I knew that I could stay inspired for that shorter time frame. And as it is, I'm just about to finish it. So, and I've stayed in. Thank you. But I've stayed inspired and engaged the whole time because I chose a goal that was within a time frame that I knew would keep me engaged. So just give yourself permission. If your natural inclinations don't fit into the socially acceptable ideas of mid and long-term goals, then be okay with that and choose the timing that works for you. But do choose that timing so that you can choose goals that are actually naturally inspiring for you.
I love that. So it sounds like there are a couple things to switch yourself off autopilot, get back to basics and find out what's important. Really listen to your intuition as well as your language, and watching out for the word should, and trusting your timing, it sounds like, is an impeccable or important part of this as well.
I think, yes. Ultimately, it is about forgetting what society says should work for you and actually just allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to decide what works for you in your own mind, in your own way.
And in your own time. Well, Kim, this has been so insightful. I mean, I was taking notes. I hope our listeners who weren't driving were able to take notes too, or you can definitely go back and listen to the show later. But that said, were there any other points that you wish you had a time to catch up on, or any takeaways that you'd love our listeners to be able to walk away from today's show with?
Right. Well, a final thought, as you all head into your Monday evening there, is learn what it feels like to feel good. Learn what it feels like. Pay attention to what it feels like to feel physically, emotionally, and spiritually aligned and inspired. Because ultimately, that's what we're chasing, that sense of feeling physically, emotionally, spiritually inspired.
I love that. And connecting to happiness, I think, at the end of the day, being inspired, being happy, and happiness is not always a paycheck, and it's not always having the right title. It's that inner knowing and that sense of peace and happiness. And to go back to our earlier point, just remember, if you're having a tough day at the office or otherwise, just try to do an act of kindness. One of my girlfriends sends me these great articles every day, and she sent a list of fun little things that you could do, you know, smiling at a stranger, opening a door for someone else, just these little minor acts of kindness that you could do that could brighten someone else's day. And as Kim just mentioned, it can also make your own life a little bit happier and more balanced and peaceful. So thank you, Kim. And where can our listeners find copies of your book or more information if they'd like to work with you?
If people would like to find out more about me, I have a book. I have a podcast of my own called Eudaimonia, which I explore the facets of life that allow us to flourish. Listeners can go to kimforrester.net. That's Forrester with two, well, three R's, F-O-R-R-E-S-T-E-R, kimforrester.net. And all that I am and all that I have to offer is right there on that website.
Well, you've definitely offered us so much today, Kim, and I'm so happy. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show today and to get to connect with you on this idea of an authentic goal and how do we create those and steps to getting there. So thank you so much, Kim. And, you know, just a moment to say that we're, of course, out here in the United States thinking about everybody in New Zealand. I know you now live in Singapore, and, you know, obviously what happened last week in Christchurch was heartbreaking. So I just want to take a moment and, you know, tell anybody out there who might have been impacted by what happened in Christchurch that we're sending, you know, thoughts, love, whatever people need. And same to you and all of your friends and family back in New Zealand.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm so grateful to be here with you. And thank you for those thoughts. Go and spread some kindness on our behalf. That's all we ask.
Yeah, I think that's all we can do as human beings. We might not be able to control what's going on thousands of miles away, but all we can control is our own thoughts, our own intentions, and our own actions, which aligns with what you and I talked about today. So it was very apropos that we had this subject on the show today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Kim. And thank you so much to everybody who tuned in and listened today or who listens in the future. And as always, the show will be available for download on latalkradio.com /get yourself the job on the Get Yourself the Job page. At the bottom of the page under the archive section, you can find a link to this show shortly after the show or any prior shows that we've done as well and listen at your leisure. If you're more interested in iTunes, we also invite you to listen on iTunes. Later in the week, you'll be able to find this and other shows available for download under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. Feel free to leave us any comments, any ratings. We always appreciate your feedback. And you can also interact with us on our Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook. So thank you again to Kim and to everybody out there who tuned in today.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.